Bob Weir was a founding member of the Grateful Dead. As one of the group's two primary songwriters and guitarists, he was instrumental in shaping the sound of the band. Today, he runs a recording studio and tours under several different monikers. He's bringing his Bob Weir solo acoustic tour to Tucson February 27th. Contributor Jake Feinberg talked with Weir about his music, past, present, and future.
This tour coming up also features Jonathan Wilson. And I wanted you to talk a little bit how the two of you met and if this is the first time you guys are collaborating musically.
You know, the first time I remember meeting him, we were doing, I've got a little studio up in San Rafael, California, and we do webcasts out of there. I don't remember who offered him up, but somebody suggested him, and we just brought him on a show that we were doing. There were a number of musicians on that show, and he was just real good. He knocked my socks off, so we got to be friends, and we played a fair bit together, and we just decided to do a tour. It's an acoustic show. He's going to do a set solo by himself. Then I'm going to do a set solo by myself. And then we're going to do a set, both of us. And, you know, like I say, we'll trade leads back and forth, both vocally and guitar, and just kick it around.
And that will be February 27th at the Fox Theater. How integral to the spiritual quality of music have venues been to you?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, a really nice venue makes a big difference. Most particularly, the sound in the room, for me, makes a huge difference. If I can hear the room back and it sounds good, and most if not all of those old Fox theaters are in that category. The old Fox theaters, you just can't beat them. If on top of the room sounding good, it's an amazing Rococo palace. That really is sort of the cherry on the sundae.
Could you talk about your own street education and where you had the most growth in your early career as a musician and a person?
I guess probably I had my most growth listening to records. Where, you know, of all sorts, you know, old blues records, jazz records, classical, whatever. We all lived together for couple of years, the guys in the band in the Grateful Dead, and so we would all listen to music together and talk it over and stuff like that and pick stuff up from what we were hearing, and then we'd end up playing that stuff. And then I also would learn a lot from just being with other musicians, seeing them, watching them play, listening to them, playing with them in particular. You can watch a musician and listen to a musician playing, but if you're playing with them, the learning experience really clicks in a whole new way.
Some folks trust to reason.
Took lessons with Reverend Gary Davis, is that correct?
Oh, yeah. When I was studying with the good Reverend, he lived out in Queens, and I would go and get a lesson or two when I was in New York, and I'd get a ride out there. Well, he lived in this house in Queens, and his wife strictly forbade him from smoking in particular, smoking and drinking. And so, you know, I got tipped off by Yorma, who also sat at the feet of the good Reverend Yorma Kalkinen. And it was kind of well known that if you wanted to get a good lesson from the guy, what you did was you would bring him a couple of good cigars and a slug or two of brandy. And also he required that you bring a cute bit of fluff with you, a comely young girl, a slick young filly. And he could tell. And, I mean, he was blind as a bat, but he could tell. And the old boy would perk right up, and you'd get a much better lesson that way.
When you think about the idea of playing with new musicians, it exposes weaknesses that you may not have been aware of. And with someone like Jonathan Wilson, or, you know, could have been whoever, how do you approach the idea of saying, you know, I'm secure enough with myself to know that I don't know everything, and I have to expose my weaknesses in order to grow?
At some point in every tune, you have to decide, okay, I'm going fishing. That I learned early on. And so, you know, there's always a little lump in your throat when you do that, or a little, you know, your heart in your throat a little bit when you're doing that. But at the same time, that's where the fun starts, when you hook a line and the guys you're playing with hear that, and then they respond to that, and then you're off to the races.
Your studio is called TRI.
Hillel Pious Research Institute.
What were your expectations, if any, when it first came out? And has it met your expectations? And what would you like to continue to see happen?
Well, I just started building it. I had no expectations. Now it's as good an audio facility as you're going to get, as good a video facility as you're going to get. Actually, as an audio facility, it has one feature that nobody else has. We have a room in which there are 80 speakers soffitted around the front, back, and sides, and a bunch of high-quality microphones, a couple dozen of them hanging down in the room, and microphones hear everything that happens in the room and take that up through software. We recreate any of a great many acoustic environments, from a living room, a small club, bigger club, small theater, larger theater, hockey hall, shed, cathedral, ballpark. You can emulate the sound of any of those kinds of places, and then you can play with that. And so it's a real treat for musicians to play in there, and it pulls performances out of people. Generally, I have a guest or two on, and we just play, and we talk and stuff like that. There's a little part of the show where we just kick stuff around. We are on our
own, on our own. My favorite period of time is the early 1980s. You were in tip-top shape, I think, mountain biking. I read somewhere about I don't know where you learned this, but you were just, became a master chef. You love cooking. So you took care of yourself while Jerry sort of began to let things go.
Well, those were dark days for old Jerry, but we actually tried to bring him around, and that just didn't work. He had to go through, he had to have a total breakdown to get him off the stuff. And so he went into a diabetic coma, basically, and strangely enough, that brought him around. He was in great shape for a little while.
That's contributing producer Jake Feinberg interviewing Bob Weir, who plays in Tucson February 27th.